Hey guys, thanks so much for tuning into another episode of A Convo with Mo. Today, guys, I am here with a really special guest, okay? I am here with Kalia Braxton. Say hi, girl.
Hi, hi everybody.
And if you guys don't know, Kalia is the digital strategy manager for style at Condé Nast, meaning all things fashion and beauty, heavy on the beauty. And I'm so excited to talk to you today, Kalia. I'm so excited to get into all the tea, okay? All things you, your journey, how you got there. And yeah, but let's get into you, Kalia. Okay, so you grew up in New York. What was that like growing up in New York?
Yeah, I'm from Brooklyn, New York, born and raised in East Flatbush.
Oh, you were a New York girl. Like.
Yes, and I mean like real East Flatbush.
Yes.
Not the new gentrified, but like, you know, real East Flatbush. You know, went to local preschools and I went to public school up into the grade. Mm-hmm. I was smart and I was being teased for being smart. Mm. So my mom took me out of public school and put me in Catholic school because I started failing on purpose, but my teacher knew that I was failing on purpose because I was smart. So they were just like, okay, yeah, she's kidding.
Hold on, we got to get into that. I'm sorry. Yes, we cannot graze over that. So you were in grade school and you were a baby genius, you know?
Yeah, for fake, a baby genius. And I went to a school like for the gifted and talented.
Yeah.
Actually, you know, one of those, like, you know, you have to like audition, do the thing.
Yeah.
And but you know, it's public school, so in public school it doesn't matter if it's that kind of school. By law, students get zoned in depending on like their
where they live. Yeah.
So some of the students that were zoned in, you know, they weren't so focused on school. That's what I'll say.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I was participating. I was like, not teachers.
You were excited to be there. Yeah.
Yes. You know what I mean? So, you know, and they would like tease me and stuff. And I was just over that. I was like,
yeah.
So I started failing, like, or not like, oh, or not turning in homework or shit. Nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
And my teachers were like, they started calling my mom because my mom was very active. So my mom just came to school. They had conversations and my mother wasn't going to interrupt my school year. But when the school year finished, I was then enrolled into like Catholic school back in Brooklyn because I was still in Brooklyn. But I was like
close a little bit out the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
I came back to Clinton Hill. And I went to Queen of All Saints through the eighth grade. And then from there, I went to Jean Baptiste, which was an all girls school on the Upper East Side.
Okay.
And then, you know, I did my thing, continued being a baby genius.
Hello. We and love I, the baby genius.
You know, got back on track.
Yes.
And graduated with honors. And then I went to Spelman.
Dude, now we're at Spelman.
Yes.
Okay, so. Why did you, like, you're in New York City, you know, you have FIT, you know, you have, you have all these different schools that are around and you're like, I'm going to the A, like, I'm going to Spelman. What was that?
So my mom went to HBCU. I understood, HBCU culture was like, you know, first of all, my mother wasn't playing. So it was, you're going to college and that's that. Like,
period.
That was not for discussion. Like, don't play with me. That's what's happening. So I always know, I was always, you know, trying to get the good grades, passing my agents, making sure I was getting the top, like, you know, like getting 90s and above on those exams so that I could be using that on my transcript to like get into the school of my choice.
Yeah.
So I knew my mom went to Lincoln University in PA. And I was, you know, always used to go to homecoming, all the things with her.
Mm-hmm.
So culture was nothing. Then we had like drumline, et cetera. So, you know, I was ready. I was like, yes, I can't do this. But I'm going to be a major rat. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. And so when it came time to figure out schools, I just knew like, I looked up, I did my research.
Mm-hmm.
But to be honest, there was a girl in my class in the eighth grade that was very smart. I used to compete with her. We was like top five students in the class. And when you graduate, you know, they do who's top five.
Yeah.
And so she was like, I think I was four and she was two, something like that. It was like, we were like one, there was somebody.
Yeah.
So anyway, we were all top five. She's like, oh, I'm going to Spelman. I was like, no, I'm going to Spelman too. So that was like sixth, seventh grade.
Yeah. Like that seed was planted right there.
Yeah. So by the time I got to high school, I already started doing my research. I started meeting girls that went to Spelman already that were from New York.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh yeah, done. I'm going to Spelman.
I'm going to Spelman.
Yeah. And then the YMCA, Harlem YMCA, shout out to them. Uh-huh. They had a college tour, which they still do, guys. So if you're in New York, check out all your YMCAs, but definitely if you're in New York, the Harlem YMCA does a HBCU college tour. So my mom sent me on that. And when I got to Spelman, mad dramatic, but it was like from the time I stepped on campus, I knew it was, I called on my like, peers, like, mom, I know this school is expensive, but we got to find the money. I've got to go here. Like, it was no, like, I did not care. We went every, I did not care. I was getting accepted to schools on the spot, Hampton on the spot with scholarship, all that. Did not care. It was Spelman or nothing. And yeah, I got in too. And I just felt like, yeah, that was for me. That was for me. It was already destined. And like Spelman's founding year was 1881. And like my building back in New York, the number of my building is 1881. I just felt like, the numbers align. I was built for this. This is the next step. I'm leaving. Spelman. Like, so that's how I got to Spelman. And then the rest was history.
Literally. So you get to Spelman. You're like, I belong here. You are. So what was your major? Like, what did you study?
Yeah. So Spelman's a liberal arts college. So
okay.
We don't have like, you're not going to be like a marketing major, et cetera. So I studied international studies. And the reason why I chose international studies was because no matter what I wanted to do, like, although I didn't know what I wanted to do, I knew that it needed to be on a global scale. And in order to do things on a global scale, you need to know people. Because in the real world, things don't just get done because of where you work. It's based off of relationships. And you need to be able to figure out how to communicate with people. Like if I'm talking to a man of a certain religion and he's not looking me in the face, it's not because he's not listening to me or he doesn't respect me. It's because maybe by religion, he does not
literally can't.
Literally. You know what I mean? Yeah. And things like that. And then, I mean, I just want to be worldly. Like, I mean, what else was I going to do? Like major in like English, math? No. Like also, here's the real truth. I wanted to study abroad and I already told y'all Spelman was very expensive. So I didn't know if my mom would be able to afford, like be able to pay for me to also do a semester abroad. As an international studies major at Spelman, you must study abroad for a semester. So
they take care of it.
And I would be going somewhere for a semester.
Where did you end up going?
Oh, I lived in Spain. It was amazing. On the weekends, I was all everywhere. Italy, France, Portugal. Oh my gosh.
Like
Morocco. It was wild.
So you would recommend studying abroad for a semester?
You must. You must figure it out. Get an internship. Figure it out. Like if there's a will, there's a way. You want to be somewhere, like you met. Figure out your North Star and you get there, map out a plan and talk to people, ask people about their experiences. You have to open your mouth and ask. Nobody's going to give you anything and that's just going to come to you. So ask, like, you know, even there was like little scholarships to go. And by speaking to like the heads of those departments, they're just helping me like, oh, you need to apply for this. The deadline is there. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Dang, that is awesome. So you had a good old time at Spelman. Okay. Oh my
God. The best, like, To date, the best adult decision I've made. Best, like Spelman, I recommend one, just going to college, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. Like, go to school and not because like, oh, you gotta go to school to get a job. Because we're seeing, especially Gen Z,
because literally it means nothing.
Yeah. But I mean for worldly experiences, but just even social experience, like just growing up, leaving your mother's house and like having to be on your own, be responsible for your future, your education, all those things.
And also I'll say me going to like, I started at a PWI and I ended up at a historically Black college. I will say also I am team historically Black universities. And the reason why I will say that is because my experience, when I was at my PWI, I had like a 2.7, no, at a 1.7. It was really bad. Like I didn't feel connected. I didn't feel inspired. But when I got to Bowie State, when I got to my historically Black college, I felt like the teachers were so invested in me, and they are. Like at historically Black colleges, they're so invested in you. Absolutely. And so because they like you're like their kid, like they want you to win. They want you to win. You're not one in 400 student classroom. You know?
I never sat in a lecture hall. I never sat in a lecture hall more than like 40 students. I swear.
Like at VCU, I always felt like a number. Like I never felt like, I felt like my ID. I didn't feel like Mo. Like I felt like my ID number because your teachers, you'd get into, you do have a meeting with their teacher and they'd be like, what's your ID number? Like that's what they'd ask. And so it's just like, it's like jail.
Yeah, like
I would recommend, and I like to hear that you were able to study abroad and your teachers were, you know, giving you ways to get scholarships. Like, that's just like so beautiful. And you don't get those experiences somewhere else. So you, if you are an African-American woman or man, and you are looking to go to school, or if you're looking to go back to school, maybe you left school.
Because Spelman has a program, y'all. It's called Pauline E. Drake Scholars. Like, basically, these are scholars that are non-traditional students. So you'd be in class with a 50-year-old woman who decided to go back to school. And to be honest, actually, my roommate, my senior year, we moved off campus and I needed a roommate. And I was getting an apartment, and the office, of course, helping us out, paired me with someone. I was like, oh, she's looking for one too. Like, y'all see if y'all work out. And if y'all work out, go find one.
Yeah.
She was in the army and left the army to come back to school. So I was like 21 and she was like 28. So it wasn't like she was 50, but you know, it worked out because we were also closer in age. She didn't have any, she wasn't married. But I remember being in a class with a woman whose daughter was at Spelman too. They both enrolled. Her daughter, and she was really cool. Actually, I did like this whole service project where I forgot the name of her program, but she also had a program and she was just amazing. And like, you know, she went, she became a wife, she had four kids. And then she was like, oh, okay, I'm going to college too.
I want to get my degree. It's never too late.
Yeah. So look into the schools and look into the programs, but also like go have the experiences. Like this is a very dark statement, but like, we will die. We will all die one day. That's all that's guaranteed. So you guys better have fun. Build the life you want to experience. Yeah. Figure it out. Don't look at anybody else's blueprint. Like, and I'm not saying this as somewhat, like, I'm only 27. I too am still on my journey. Mm-hmm. But I am not looking at others' blueprint. Like, I'm just figuring out mine and I'm having fun. Because when it is my time, I want to say that I've lived.
Yes. That's beautiful. Yeah. And so, and you are living, okay? Like, as I'm watching your stories and I'm watching your journey, you are living and you are doing it well, honey. Okay, and some of us are living through you. But you graduate from Spelman and then you go back to the city. And what was that like?
I graduated from Spelman. Y'all, I did everything. I was at Spelman. I was on SGA. I was in student council. I was on a Rent the Runway team. I was interning for NBC Universal the whole time. Oh, you name it. I did it. I worked with this person, that person, knew that person, and still graduated with no job. No job. Not one. Okay? Came back to New York, and my mom was like, well, you can live with me. I'm the only child, y'all, so I can live with my mom, let me come back home. But she was just like, but you need to figure it out. And soon, because you know, when you graduate in 6 months, you have a
Them loans come knocking on the door.
And they don't care if you are without a job, okay? And better yet, how about this? Because I begged my mom to go to Spelman, she took out what is called a Parent Plus loan. Oh, so the loan really was in my mother's name.
Yep.
And they really didn't care. So it also went according to my mother's income. Now, Glenda's not rich. Glenda's my mom, y'all. But she is comfortable. And so,
you're gonna add this loan,
and that loan repayment going according to her salary was like, oh, whoa, wait a minute, you know what I mean? Like, the payment, y'all, is somebody's rent current day, monthly. Okay, so I had to get a job because even if I couldn't pay the whole thing, I had to contribute to that because my mother and I made a gentleman's agreement that when she took out this loan, I would be responsible for repaying it.
Yeah.
So I had to hold up my end of the bargain because my mother held up hers, which was making sure that I would go to my dream school.
Yeah.
And so I came home, no job, and it was hectic. But I will say this. I network like in my sleep. So, you know, I reached out to at the time I was interning with Harlem's Fashion Row. And my old
boss. Shout out to them.
Yeah, shout out to them. My old boss, which is actually CEO and founder, Brandis Daniel. She was like, she was letting me still intern with her even post college. And she was like, all right, just come to my conference. They had this conference with the great girlfriends and there's a bunch of Black women, bomb Black women too. I was like, ooh, I was feeling depressed in general and I just felt alive. I felt alive. And it was like a 2 or 3 day conference. And on the last day I met this woman and she was at L'Oreal and corporate. And she was just like, send me your resume. And I was like, all right, send her my resume.
Didn't know what was going to come from it.
And I got an internship call, like, oh, interview. So I'm like trying to reach out to her, let her know, like, hey, I got the, you know, she's not responding. I'm like, all right, well, trying to keep her abreast.
Yeah.
I'm moving on to round two, round three. I'm like, okay, I really need to let her know, like, hey, this is going well. Like, still not responding. Y'all, I get the job, still not responding. I'm like, okay, let me just go up in the office.
Yeah.
And I started, you know, I got this role. L'Oreal has a program for post college. Graduate, post-grad. And I got it. I got onto this team. I was a global digital marketing intern. Mm-hmm. It was a 12-month program. So you had to have graduated from college. And, you know, you worked on a project. But really, at the time, the team that I was on was very small. And so although I was an intern, I was doing the work. I was acting as a coordinator. Intern, but it was at real work. Like,
yeah.
In the summer, there was an intern under me. Does that make sense? Like, you know what I'm gonna say? Like, so I had real work. I was doing all the things. I was preparing the big presentations that we have for our CEOs, like set up meetings in Paris. Like, I was working on those projects. And I did it for a year. And I will just say that that was a very interesting experience. It was a humbling experience. And it taught me a lot. It taught me what I wanted to be, what I didn't want to be in it. And it helped me get ready for, you know, like other corporate opportunities and just the game.
Yeah.
It threw me in there. That's what I'll say. It just threw me in there. And I'm grateful for mentors along that journey who like helped me because I needed help. And I don't even mean like, oh, how to dress for the job. Like I had that. You know, I had
like, you see my fit?
I was that girl. Back then, I was wearing, like, you know, a pink dress with, like, a pink and something shoe, like, you know, white shoe and then, like, a white blazer. And, like, I was up in K&G. Shout out to K&G because I was dressing on a budget. I told you I was an intern.
Wasn't really making that coin yet.
But me, I think style is, you don't have to have a lot of money to be fly.
Yes,
okay?
Yes.
You just need to have a little bit of style. And figure out your aesthetic and do what you want to do. So I was in K&G getting those Calvin Klein two pieces and mixing and matching them. Mm. And doing what I needed to do. Got Zara, shout out to Zara. And, you know, figuring
Zara
out.
Zara is really that girl. We really need to get into
she's that. That she's a little crazy in price. It's like, okay, girl, this is faux.
Because I still want her to, because at some point Zara was giving Shein prices. Mm-hmm. And now
She's giving
Express.
She's giving... We're almost at Matches Fashion. Zara, what are you talking about? These shoes are a dupe. Be nice. They're a dupe.
But oh my, okay. So goodness gracious. You basically, like, one thing that I want to take away from what you just said though was the networking, because I feel like people don't believe and realize how important networking is and how far and wide it can get you networking. I think Issa Rae had done this interview where she had mentioned like networking across. And that's one of the benefits of going to college is you never know where people are going to end up. Mm-hmm. You never know where the person sitting next to you, you don't know, they may become the marketing director at this company which you potentially want to work at. You never know, they might become, you know, the CEO of this company that you potentially want to, you just never know. Even if you're going to a network, like an event, like, you know, the founders event of Harlem Fashion, were like, you never know who you're gonna meet. And so it's so important to just be like, just be nice. Like, what do they call it? Like when you're just a nice person, like you're, I can't remember the word, damn. I wanna call it like you being personable, like will take you far.
I think it's important. I think, and if I could tell younger Kalia something, it would be like, I was always already a networker, but just being mindful of how you take up space and how you make others feel.
Okay.
I have a very big personality.
Yeah. And I'm like taking this in because me too.
No. Yeah. If you don't know me, it might be like, ooh, she's a lot. Yeah. But like, also you need to get to know me, because if you get to know me, you'd know like, actually,
you'll want to hire me.
Right. Oh, I'm just very giving. I'm like, oh, you need to know this. Let me connect you guys. Like, to be honest, to whom much is given, much is required. And you must like really look out for, I genuinely do not think that you get you get far without giving. Like, and you should give because it's like, that's really what you want to do and not because you hope to receive. Yeah. And my mom always tells me that, like, you need to give without hope. Like, you, if you give someone something, actually expect to never get it back.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
And that's down to, like, borrowing money. Like, don't give what you
can't afford to lose.
That kind of thing. Like, just little things. Like, but also, like I told you, I am an only child, and my mother was very big. Like, in my house when I was younger, Thanksgiving, my mom didn't even start cooking until we came back from a homeless woman's shelter or something.
Oh my goodness.
Or like on Christmas, I did not open my gifts until we went to a hospital or something and gave out gifts or something to kids and like this thing for. So like giving has always been, it's the thing. Like when I give,
like people, we have to do it.
Yeah. If I'm being lazy, all right, I'm going to go to the Goodwill and drop the bag. But most times I just find a woman's shelter or, you know, one of those like ready, willing, able stations where women are like transitioning from jail to back, whatever. And they just need to get on their feet. So they may need some clothes for an interview. Like that, I'll be like, okay, girls, like it's Christmas or it's winter. Who's giving, like what y'all throwing away? Okay, let's get out. So that's just me. So I was back to the point, but I was saying, like, I think it's very important to be mindful of the space you take up and allow people to really see you. You don't have to put yourself out on, like, you know, tell them your story, but you should just be mindful of the space that you take up when, in, you know, because if you don't speak, no one knows. Yeah. So they're judging. So just be mindful of how you show up in a room and what you want people to walk away from after having experienced you.
Yeah. Wow. That is good. Cause one thing about me,
younger Kalia was a little bit of a
turn. Younger Mo.
I could have been a little bit more polished, but
we do. Cause it's funny. Cause like, even me, like growing up, I was like fake shy, but also very like I had so much personality. So I'm like wondering like if my networking skills would have been a little bit more polished, you know, but we're here.
But it's okay too, because growth, and who will give you a chance next?
Yeah.
And well, hello, hi.
Yeah.
Like, we're moving on. Yeah, it's not that.
I love it for you. So you're able to network, and you work at L'Oreal. You worked at Harlem Fashion Row, and now you are at
Condé Nast.
And I keep saying Condé Nast, but it's Condé Nast.
It's Condé Nast, and I'm at Condé Nast Entertainment.
Okay.
Which is basically, it's still Condé Nast, but it's our like whole other, it's like another sector. Like,
yeah.
And we focus on video,
okay.
Specifically video. The video content, like Condé Nast is entertainment. We have magazines, which like the editorial side of the house.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not on the editorial side of the house. Like we get the writers and the store. I'm on the video side of the house, and specifically branded.
Mm-hmm.
So branded entertainment basically is when a brand pays for content, like creates content or sponsored content.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm working in. I know my title is long, so I'll break it down. I am the strategy manager for all branded entertainment. So I come up with a strategy on how branded entertainment needs to look for all of our beauty and fashion content. So that encompasses.
That's a lot.
Yeah, it's cool. It's not. It sounds big, but it's not. It's doable. We have under the style division is Vogue, GQ, Allure, Vanity Fair, and Glamour magazine. So if a brand comes to us and says, "Hey, we have this new product, or we're trying to do this, and we want to target this group," what should we do strategically? You know, also, you can't talk to my team unless you have like $1.5 million. So if somebody's giving you $1.5 million, you better give them something that's going to perform and resonate with the community that they're looking to talk to.
Yeah.
So I come in and I figure out what does that look like, the strategy for that content. You know, like, okay, you want 18 to 25 year olds. Perhaps we put in our main focus is TikTok and not other said platform because demographic, this is where they at. So that kind of thing, finding the white space, like, oh, well, everyone's doing this, but here's an opportunity for you to take up space like this. So that's what I do. And once I do my job, I give it to the creative team who then takes the recommendations, the strategic recommendations, and create some sort of creative. And then they take it back to the sales team. The sales team goes back to the client and we're like, oh, this is what we come up with. And the client says, oh, yes, we want to pay you and work with you. Or, oh, no, we're going elsewhere. Most times they pay us and work with us.
Period. Oh, so, dude, what is that like? You know, I see you and I'm like so proud of you to get to this, because you, the way you're like, you know, you kind of, you're like downplaying, like, it's chill, but like, this is a pretty big effing job. Like, 1.5 million to sit at a meeting with
but that's a small budget, y'all. Like, let me tell you.
Break that down then, because that's a big number.
You'd be so surprised. I mean, that's a big number, but also we're talking about big brands like Louis Vuitton, Prada, big beauty brands that have money. They allocate money to spend on content. So, you know, it's that. There are organizations and agencies that will do it for cheaper, but, you know, I mean, so, it's not what that's. So, you know, it is what it is. I mean, like, we will work with smaller budgets. Don't get me wrong. Like, we definitely are. For my team specifically, when strategically, you just have to answer to more. When there's more money at stake, like, more at stake, you have to answer to, you have to cross your T's and dot your I's. My team will come in to make sure that all T's are crossed, all I's were. Got it.
So how has it been like working in this space? Because they're like, I know it's not a Black space, you know what I mean? Like, I know it's not a majority African-American space. Mm-hmm. There really aren't any in the corporate world. So what has that been like, and how are you like navigating it? And like, how are you, my last question is like, also, how are you able to like make your voice heard, you know, in that space as well?
Yeah, so I will say, like when I was telling you guys about my experience at my first job straight out of college, I'm blessed to have had mentors and women, called them board of directors, who have taught me the things that I didn't know. Because you don't know what you don't know. You don't know that sometimes when someone is sending you a passive aggressive email, you need to CC your boss when you respond. You don't know how to respond to a passive aggressive email with the facts and not with emotion. You don't know that, you know, there's just things that you don't know, the unspoken things you don't learn, and there's no handbook. This is just from experience. So I've been in predominantly white spaces as it relates to work since I was 18, as I started working in corporate America at 18. I've just taken all the games and all the things that I've learned along the way with me. And so I don't take anything personal in my space, and I do my work. I do my work, and I let my work speak for itself, and that is that. And when the day is done, the day is done for me. And I love my job. Like, it's not my identity.
Two things. The doing your job, and I feel like that's so important, because if you're not going to do anything, do the job so good that they don't have anything to say. Sometimes they still gonna have something to say, right? But if you do your job, it's like,
absolutely,
what else? You know? And not taking work home, how were you able to separate yourself? Because I mean, that's a big gig, you know? Like, I'm going to stop calling it a big gig. I think it's a big gig. I'm going to give you your flowers, because I think you're doing an amazing job. You've gotten to this position, you know, you're working with the biggest brands, like Vogue, like come on, Vanity Fair, like you're working with the biggest brands. So it's like, how are you able to separate yourself and be like, you know what, that is work. It's not who I am. I am Kalia Braxton. And like, that's just it. How are you able to do that?
Yeah, to be honest, it's really easy for now. Okay. Maybe I'm not, but I do my work, and then I have a whole life, and I make it so that, like, I thoroughly enjoy beauty. So if any given moment you'll see me recommending something in my stories or letting y'all know what I'm trying, or that kind of thing, or showing y'all, ooh, today's face is cute. Like, you know what I mean? But that's genuinely who I am. So that's naturally, like, it's fun for me, which is why, like, the kind of role that I went after was a role that would allow me to play in that space. You know what I mean? When the day is done for me, and I'm moving on. Like, I'm not, you know, and I want it to be that. Cause I never want to be like one of those women that's like so successful, but like, you know, she's at dinner with her girls and she's on her
BlackBerry.
Phone. Like, girl, like, eat your steak. Like, eat your steak and enjoy yourself. So, you know, I don't want that for myself. So I make sure that now I am becoming like, in addition to my work, I'm exploring other avenues outside of my 9-to-5.
Okay. And,
like creating a 5-to-9 kind of thing.
Ooh. Can we get a little bit more details there?
Yeah, it's just like a it's like management, working with talent, and like figuring out how to get smaller brands or smaller businesses, Black owned businesses, the partnerships and the backing that they need, right?
Mm-hmm.
So like, you just don't know what you don't know, like, you know,
right?
Okay, if you have a business and it's doing well and you're making money, that's great. But like, what next?
Yeah.
If you're an entrepreneur, you actually probably don't have a 401k, or you do, but like, it's come out of you. So like, how can you really build what you're trying to build towards? You want to build more than a business, because there is a difference between a business and a brand.
Yeah.
And you need to have both, or you can have both. And so just helping people expand that. So that's what I'm doing. And that becomes, you know, like, okay, I'm at work. I left work, and now I'm at work again. Like, I'm dealing with a client, and like, so now I'm responding, and it's like, oh, but you are at dinner. Like, you know what I mean? But I'm also 27 with no kids. So, and no, like, nothing. I have no real responsibilities outside of the
Your
things
job.
That are possible. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's not bad for now.
Yeah.
But should the, you know, things change, we will pivot.
we will.
When I say pivot, I mean like just figure out how to make it all make sense.
Yeah, it does not mean that I will now make my job my life. It does.
Yeah,
no.
No, I believe that Black women specifically, we deserve to have it all. You shouldn't have to choose. Like, I want to be a professional, but I also want to be a mom, and like also want to have a family. But like, no, we can have it all.
Yeah, I believe that wholeheartedly. Of course, you know me, because I'm married, but I'm still like. Mm-hmm. I need to go and get it. And when I have kids, I'm still going to be like, all right, kids, but I still got to go and get it. And I'm still at the same time enjoying my husband and my future children at the same time. So that I 110% agree with you on that.
Yeah.
I wanted to talk about having a seat at the table versus creating and building your own table. You are now building your own table. I see with your 5 to 9. You're 5 to 9. Is there a name?
No, there isn't. Okay. Like, so here, let me tell
you. Like freelance, yeah.
Yeah, it's freelance. It's very, because I also, like, I'm not perfect. So sometimes I have my, like, self-sabotaging, or, like, I'm just, like, in my head and I'm not on it. So I just decided to just do it. Like, and I hope
that's so good.
You take this with you. Like, you don't need to wait until you get the new laptop. You don't need to wait until the look is there. You don't need to just start.
Yeah.
If you just start, get one client. You're not going to have a big roster. It's okay. Get one. Bust it up.
Yeah.
Figure out. Have 5. You know what I mean? You might not be able or have the bandwidth, or you might not be ready because you haven't had enough experience to deal with 5 clients that have 5 very different needs, or whatever it is that you're doing. And so, yeah, it doesn't have a name, but it's doing well. And so I'm like, all right, we'll come. Perhaps it'll have a name in like 6 months.
Yeah.
But right now, the name is getting to it. And when I mean the bag. That's what I'm focusing on. Mm-hmm. So let's call it getting to it for now.
We're going to call it getting to it. I love this. Like, I love, first of all, I love your energy. Like, I'm having a great time talking to you.
Thank you. Same. Sorry, y'all. I'm in the Bronx. Y'all hear the ice cream truck. He's still out. Like, it's not the fall. So if you hear it, what can I say? You know what I mean?
I'm so sorry. This is just what, this is what it is.
Literally. What can I say?
What can you say? But, you made me lose my train of thought, but I love that.
We were at, seat at the table.
Yes. Okay. So now you are building your own table.
Right.
How do you feel like there is a recipe? Do you feel like it's important to get into those spaces and then branch out? Or do you feel like, you know, create your own table? If you're not getting into the room, create your own room. And then, you know, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I want to say this for the girls who are considering, the girls and guys who are considering entrepreneurship and all this. Let me tell you. I am not an entrepreneur. I'm an intrapreneur. I come into your business and I go into entrepreneurs' business and I blow it up.
Yeah.
I say, boom, y'all doing this is how we're gonna get here, and here. That's what I like to do. Now, creating my own 5 to 9 technically is me being an entrepreneur, but I'm not so focused on being like, you know, girl, boss, babe. No.
Yeah.
It's smoke and mirrors. I'm not, that's, you know, that's how it is. And so when it comes to building a seat at the table and all that, listen, my motto is if you put me in a room, I'm going to sit at the table. I don't care if it's a folding chair, I got to stand, kneel, hang back and take notes. I'm going to do that.
Mm.
I do at times felt like I wasn't invited into rooms that I wanted to be in.
Yeah.
And so I started doing my own thing, which is why it's very like, you're like, oh, well, what does Kalia do? Cause like it can give you, oh, I'm talking about beauty, okay, but is she like, what is she doing? Like,
yeah,
what does that mean?
Yeah, yeah.
But you don't know that I really do work with like bigger brands on the side, all the things.
Mm-hmm.
I just say it like this, like I do what I enjoy, and in doing what I enjoy, I figure out what's next for me. I don't, that's how it works. As it relates to like, again, the seat at the table and building my own. Hey, in working, I meet people. They either invite me to their room and give me a seat, or I take from what I enjoyed or what I've experienced and I add it to my notes. Oh, I enjoyed that. I'm gonna put that here. Oh, I like that. I'm gonna put that there. And that's that. I think that everyone must build their board of advisors. And this is not this has nothing to do with the seat at the table. This is like, we call them mentors.
Yeah. So
because then that becomes weird. You want the it girl to be a mentor.
Yeah.
No, she's too busy. She's working to keep her stance as being the it girl. She may not have time. So you need people, it doesn't matter how professional, your board of advisor could be an OG uncle that never finished high school, but he knows a thing or two. He's on your board of advisor because he's going to teach you the things that you can't learn in the classroom.
Mm.
Put people on your board of advisors to help you as you navigate. People that you could pinpoint. I'm 27, I live alone. Like I told you, who am I talking to? The couch. So I call, said person. Hey, this is what I'm thinking. What do you think? This is a smart decision. That's what I'm focused on.
Yeah.
And you know, hey, when I'm given a seat at the table, I'm going to show up. But if not, just know that I'm always going to show up.
Period.
So that's, you see what I'm saying? The norm. That's how, if y'all didn't hear, y'all, that's some horns in the background. That's how I'm navigating having a seat at the table or building my own. I'm just doing my own thing, and I'm grateful for the people that pour into me, and I'm okay with the people that don't even, that overlook me every time. Blessings to them still.
No, I love that. Sorry.
And I want to say quickly, no, it's okay. I just want to say quickly, like, I don't want anyone listening to be like, oh my gosh, she got it all. No, I'm learning.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes it does bother me. It does bother me when I get overlooked for opportunities. Damn, yeah, wow. I wish they thought of me too. Or wow, I wasn't invited to that.
Mm-hmm.
But like, also, nothing that is for me will pass me. Nothing. I don't care who you believe, God, Allah, whomever. You have to know that what is for you will not pass you. So with that being said, relax yourself and stay focused.
And so with that being said, nothing passing you, it seems like nothing is passing you. I just watched your story where, you know, you were, I think you were on the literal advisory board.
Yeah.
The collab of, I think, Estee Lauder and
Condé Nast.
Yeah, tell me more about that. What was that like?
Okay, yeah. So basically both companies got together and said, hey, we're going to do an advisory board. We need to figure out how we could both come together and win in our spaces.
Mm-hmm.
And so 15 employees. Okay, don't quote me. I want to say 15 from each. It was a small number, 15, maybe 20. No, maybe like, 15. No. 15 or 20, who knows?
Okay.
We're selected from each company, and we sat on the board and did a project for about 7 months. And it was, so some of my team sat here in New York and others sat in London. We had people from both offices. So there were three topics that we were working on. And my topic was, what is the future of influencers? And if anyone knows me, you guys know, I love that. Like, I love figuring out, that's literally aligned with my day job. Like, being strategic. What are we doing? How do we lead in that space? And that was actually the question. Estee Lauder was like, what is the future of influencers and how do we lead in that space? And so, you know, my team, at first we were working on this big old project and And it's like, okay, we started this in March and we're presenting in September. Whatever we found in March is now old.
Yeah.
So that can't be the answer. That's actually the opposite of what we're trying to figure out.
Yeah, especially because the influencer world is literally changing day by day.
Every day, exactly.
Yeah.
And so what we came up with was just figuring out how would Estee Lauder brands lead in that space, what they should be doing in order to have some sort of correspondence and input within the influencer space. And so it was cool, man. I mean, my team, we presented this big old project.
Yeah.
And it was to Fabrizio, the CEO of Estee Lauder Companies Global, Jane Lauder. Hello, Estee Lauder. Yeah. That Roger Lynch, which is my CEO at Condé Nast.
Yeah.
A few other big wigs and like just head C-suite.
Yeah.
Figures at both organizations, and it was amazing. I was very proud of myself, but my team, we really, you know, it was getting long and dragged. I mean, like the hours, especially working with people like in London, you know, you can imagine how many times we were having 9 a.m. calls, 8 a.m. calls because I'm working through this because at 8 a.m. it's what time there. So just be of each other's time. And it was a great project. Loved it. Really happy that I got to work on that. Really happy that I got to work with the people at Estee Lauder, because that was that gave me another like perspective. I'm like, maybe, wow, do I want to go brand side? You know what I mean? Like, do I want to go back to a beauty brand? Because I already worked at a beauty brand. You know what I mean? Like, and it was an amazing project. I'm really happy that I was selected and I got to be a part of that. And
I am so happy because you deserve it. I'm sure you're like just killing it over there. And to get that recognition is just like, you deserve it. Like, you deserve it, and I know you killed this, so I'm so happy for you.
Thank you. So grateful.
I am.
I hope all Black women in this space like get the things that they deserve and are flowered. I think that especially when it's opportunities, like, man, when I went up for it, I was like, wow, they probably have everybody apply for this thing. But to be honest, and this is a little cocky, but I want y'all to hear me, in my heart of hearts, I knew I was gonna make that board. Let me tell y'all, listen, I saw the thing come through and I forgot about it. And then I thought about it again and looked at my email, and the day I applied at the 12th hour, like really at the end, I applied it in before 11:59 p.m. that night.
Oh, they know.
And even still they doing that, I was like, God, I know you're going to, I know. Cause I was like, this is the kind of work I want to be doing. So I know you're going to let me get on this board. And I did.
I love that for you, man. I do. You deserve it, and you deserve all the flowers. And I'm so grateful for you coming and joining me here today. I have two more questions for you. Mm-hmm. These are a little bit more personal questions. What is something that you feel like people misunderstand about you?
Now, this is what we should have led with. Nah. So I will say this. Growing up as an only child, I've always had to defend myself and be my advocate.
Yeah.
And so I think that like just childhood thing, like I have a very big personality, but I'm very like, it could be, I hope people can see this. Like, but guys, I'm making emotion. Like, I don't know how to explain this emotion, but I'm very, I don't even have the word for it. Mm-hmm. Passionate. So I feel like if you don't know me, like from the outside looking in, you might be like, oh, like you probably, you would probably not be intimidated, but like, you don't know how to approach
you. Yeah.
And it's not that. It's really just, I've always had to stand my own ground. I've always had to hold it down. So that's what I do. But, and not like, oh, like, it's just one of those things. It's something that, so I just hope that when people meet me, I wish that they would give me a chance. Mm-hmm. And I think that as I've gotten older, I've calmed down. Like I've had mentors and my board of advisors.
You've polished it. You've polished.
So I'm getting better.
Yeah.
But I do wish that, you know, like I do hope that when people experience me, it's not like, ooh, it's like, okay. You know what I mean? Because I like to think that I'm a cool person, but I'm
also, I mean, I believe nonsense. It, and you are. I think you are.
Yeah, thank you. I'm just a very no nonsense too.
I will. That's that New York.
Yeah, I don't play that shit like at all. You know, I'll play with you, but like, don't sister girl me.
Yeah.
And I don't mean like, hey sis, not that. I mean like, you know, if we're in a work setting, and because I'm Black and you're Black and I'm younger than you, so it's like, oh, sit. And it's like, no,
let's get it done.
I'm a professional. Like, let's get to it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But other than that, like, I mean, hey girl, hey, it's me.
I love that. And then my last question for you is, what is the most important thing that you've learned in your whole entire life? What's the most important thing that you've learned?
Okay. Let me just pause to really think about what
I don't want to say. No, take your time.
So, I don't want to say anything that's like, no. Okay. I can't really narrow it down. So I have three things.
Okay. I'm here.
To be honest, to be kind, and to be a giver. And I think that, so sometimes it helps me and it hurts me, but we move because I begin in my
we move. Shall we move?
Hello. Because sometimes I'm like always like, oh, you know, oh, let me put you, oh, I want to connect you or whatever. And then
yeah,
the same people that I've helped have looked at me like, oh, you know what right. I mean? Like, later on, yeah. Like, ooh, like, you know, and like I said, as an only child, I'm very like, if we cool, you never have to worry about it. Mm-hmm. So sometimes that's hurtful. Yeah. But my mom has always, like, I mean, and we got to give it, you know, shout out to Glenda.
Shout out to Glenda.
But my mom has really taught me to, you got to be honest. That was a rule. Like, if I did anything bad, so long as I told the truth, I would not get
in like big trouble. Yeah.
I would probably still be punished, but it wouldn't be no spanking. Mm-hmm. But she's going, if, you know,
lied, yeah. Yes,
if I lied. So that goes back to the being honest.
Yeah.
And, you know, the being kind part, you just have to. You just never know what people are dealing with. Yeah. And the strong friends too. And I, you know, like as I'm getting older, like people are dealing with things, like real things that they may not even speak on. Mm-hmm. And you gotta be very mindful of how you interact with people and so those things, honest, kind, and giver. Giver. Oh yeah, and giving. Sorry. Yes. They all go hand in hand. Like, you know,
yeah.
what you eat will, you know, won't make me shit. But
yeah.
But I do believe that you must like look out for people, especially, okay, I just want to say this. My agenda is very Black. I said this to my white boss before. I meant that, and I'll say it again.
Yeah.
And you quote that. My mm-hmm. agenda is very, very Black.
Yes.
You
hear me?
Okay. Even if we all won, we still wouldn't even put a dent.
Yeah,
okay?
And what they got so going on, for sure. Yeah.
So I do not care. Like, look out for yours. And this could be the HBCU and me all that. Look mm-hmm. out for your sisters and your brothers. Yeah. If you know of an opportunity, speak on that person's name in the room, even if they are not there.
Like,
help people, okay?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
and
yeah,
I just think that because of my experience, like, I haven't gotten anywhere, Mo. Like, quote this if you must. I haven't mm-hmm. gotten any opportunity without a Black woman's help. I have not gotten one. Even in the times that a Black woman has hurt me, I still got it because that person, a Black woman has helped me too. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, like being kind, being honest, and being a giver for real. And it has gotten me far. And, you know, I'm not saying get walked out, like, you know, be helping people and they shit.
Yeah.
But just, that should be in your DNA. Like,
yeah. You know, that's like basic human decency. Like,
yes, yeah. Like if I ever had children, that's what they're gonna know.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
Like you're gonna get kind, respectful. Yes. And so those are the things that I've learned. And I hope that anybody listening, you all take that with you. Like, yo.
Like, I have to be a good human being. I have to be good.
Good person. Let me see if this thing is still on my Instagram. I just posted it. because I just posted this thing. Hold on. Okay, I wrote the older. Okay, good. It was from somebody else, a repost. It says, "The older I get, the more I see most people genuinely aren't good people. They might be fun, cool, and even intelligent, but they aren't decent human beings." LOL.
Yeah, that's what the thing but it's says. like literally and the basics.
Yes, mm-hmm. Like, or, you know, especially in this industry that I work in, it's a very, oh, you're at Vogue. You know, give.
And yeah,
I
get
business, but like, you know, I'm still a person and sometimes it's like, wow, I wonder if you like genuinely want to go out to dinner or you just like
trying to finesse
the thing. Mm-hmm. You know, so I am personally like intentional with how I interact with people.
Yeah.
Like, I when I'm going out to dinner with people that I respect or I admire, and I'm like, you know, 10-year-old Khalifa, like, did you sit down with so-and-so?
Yeah.
I won't even know. You will not know. Because I want those relationships. I want to work on them and I want them to be genuine.
Cultivated,
grow into something. And I don't want to be like, hey, y'all, I'm with so-and-so.
Yeah.
Enough is enough, please. So, yeah, but... Yeah, I hope that whoever's listening, like, y'all really I hope that y'all really feel at least inspired or motivated, or feel, or if you were feel, if you are self-sabotaging or feeling like, damn, I don't have enough experiences. I hope that you just start, and I hope that you allow yourself to be as you figure out what your journey is going to look like, but allow yourself to be on that journey without comparing yourself. Or even if you do find yourself comparing yourself, just remember, like, it's cool to, like, you know, look, but don't lose yourself trying to go after something you know nothing about, because all you see is pictures and highlights.
It's real life to that stuff. It's real life. Yeah. Dang. Well, thank you so much, Kalia. Like, I learned so much from you today. I feel like, you know, I'm inspired. I'm inspired by your journey. I'm inspired by, you know, you just being like, you're like, it's just like, like, I feel like it's like a Black girl movie, you know, like you went to the HBCU, you grinded, you're in SGA, you went to Spain, you know, I mean, and obviously there's hardships and everything, but it's like, but you know, you came, I feel like you've come out on top, and it's so beautiful to see stories like this, because it's not, these are stories are not highlighted, you know what I mean? Because people always want to see the struggle, but sometimes it's lit. Sometimes it's very beautiful. Sometimes it's, you do land the job, you know, sometimes you do get on the advisory board for Estee Lauder, you know what I mean? So it's like, I'm so proud of you, and I'm so grateful. And I hope that anyone that's listening is, just like Clea said, is inspired. And, you know, whatever your passion is, you just have to, what did you say, the North Star, like, make it your North Star. And head towards it, like, full throttle. And sometimes that means starting your 5 to 9 after or later, you know, and figuring out how you want to do that. But like Clea said, just start. Don't self-sabotage yourself. But that is it for today's episode, y'all. Clea, once again, thank you so much. Any last remarks that you want to tell the listeners?
No, I think you recapped it. The North Star. You know, the North Star start.
Yeah. And listen, what was it? Feelings are for boyfriends.
Oh, feelings are for boyfriends. But I say that in the most
nicest way.
In the nicest way. Feelings are for boyfriends and girlfriends, whatever whoever you have feelings for, and figure out how you just navigate spaces, but do separate work from home. I don't care what people show you. There are politics in it all. So figure it out for yourself and how it works for you, and then just do. And I'm wishing everybody like an abundance of blessings on their journeys. Yeah. We all need it. And please feel free, like, any questions, like, if y'all heard me say something and you're like, oh, can you expand upon that? Like, please feel free to DM me.
Where can they find you, girl?
My name, y'all. Literally just Kalia Braxton. That's it. It's very simple.
Everywhere.
It's there. It's just Kalia Braxton. Find me on LinkedIn. It's my name. Find me on DM. You can DM me on Instagram. I have a Twitter, but y'all, I am so trash with Twitter, so don't even look for me there, because
Twitter is like the new thing now.
I know, and I need help. Okay, but like, Twitter for work. I run campaigns on Twitter.
On Twitter above you.
No. But Twitter, my personal life,
it's not it.
Thank you. But for work, I'm in there.
I would wanna see your tweets. Like, I wanna know what Kalia's thinking.
My tweets not get me in trouble, because, you know, I always guys, I have something to say.
Like, that's what I'm saying. Like,
political. Like, you know, they may be like, oh, she's not, but I'm not. You know, I'm not.
Like, I wanna know Kalia's thoughts on everything that trends. So I'm like,
okay.
I need you to get on Twitter.
You might have to, like, text me, like, Clea, what you thought? What did you think?
I'm gonna go on Twitter. Okay. You know what? Or maybe you could tell me your tweets, and then I can go viral for all your thoughts.
Yeah, I'll give you my thoughts.
But thank you so much again, guys, for listening, and we are out of here.